Welcome everybody to our weekly podcast with Joe Barone, and this week we have a doozy. We've been talking about the Titanic that sank, not the Titanic itself, but the submarine that went to explore it. It sank maybe a week ago, a little over a week ago. And more than sink, I think the apt word is implode. And it's not something we often think about. But what happens is the pressure is so high that the volume of air becomes really tiny in an instant. So the whole thing just collapses within a fraction of a second. And that's, as scary as that might sound, it ignites the air in it and incinerates the bodies of people in an instant. So that was a gruesome news to read. I couldn't read it at one shot, if I'm being honest. I had to pause and sort of read again. Because it was, it's such, you don't, I mean, we see suffering all the time, but that was very unexpected. You wouldn't think, I mean, we are able to put people on the moon, but like how hard is it? Just like a maybe a few kilometers in under the ocean, but turns out a lot more dangerous. I mean, at least with how we are doing things at the moment. But that brings us on to what we were actually here to talk about. Job, you had some very interesting stuff to say about the Titanic the other day when we were talking about this. And would you mind telling us again about like how about the Titanic itself?
It was built by Harland and Wolff for the Starliner. And interestingly, before the Titanic was a ship called the Olympic, which interestingly sank. And a year after the Titanic was another ship called the Britannic. And that sank almost twice as fast as the Titanic.
So Harland and Wolff is the shipbuilder. The building yard or whatever they're called. They built three ships and they all sank. And Starliner is the operator, but they suffered all the losses.
Wow. In a sense, I think it was it wasn't necessarily a technical issue. I think it was other issues. For instance, the Titanic ignored seven warnings. They ignored seven repeated warnings. I think the last two warnings were ignored because the man who was responsible to take messages was busy doing private messages for the people in the first class.
That's weird.
So
when you say seven warnings, you mean like off the path they took?
So one of the ships that was already on the Atlantic path decided to stop for the night and said it's not wise and there are loose icebergs. And tried to get this message to the captain of the ship who was busy dining with the family. So there was a lot of warnings being ignored. There was a lot of process that was being there was a lot of there was a lot of processes being voided.
So we can't use the argument of we just didn't know. Like we knew but didn't follow the protocol.
The protocol.
That's very interesting.
Something else is, that's interesting is there was a survivor who got on the Olympic and survived the Olympic, survived the Titanic and survived the Britannic.
One person was on all three ships and when they sank and survived all three of them. That's out of this world. The probability. Probably a woman, right?
It was. Her name is Violet Jessop.
I thought so, because women and children first. So women are going to be on the ship. Like they are on a high priority to be on the ship and leave. Oh, that's very interesting. All right. But you were also mentioning about, I think his name was Mr. Harper?
Reverend John Harper. He's called the Titanic preacher. And he was a man who was on the ship traveling from England to America to start to pastor a new church. I was really excited and looking forward to Reverend John taking over the pastorate. He was on the ship. He, with his daughter, who's 6 years old, and his niece, gets them to one of the lifeboats, gives his niece instructions for his six-year-old daughter, goes back and begins to share his faith with a lot of people, starts to share hope with a lot of despairing people. And there are 18 people who give their lives to God as a result. One of the people who, at one of the Titanic survivors' reunion, shares of how he was the last man that John Harper saved. Apparently, he's on this log, and the Reverend Harper swims over to him and starts to share his faith and tells him there is hope. And this guy is not having any of this, right?
So wait, so when the ship is sinking,
yeah,
like literally, it's not it's not a metaphor. It's literally the ship has sunk.
Yes,
and this guy's on a log, and he gives him the message of hope.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, and this guy's
and his life jacket. You said,
yeah, yeah. So basically, he's trying to share his faith with this man on a log, and this guy's not having any of this, right?
Of course.
So Reverend John starts to swim. So Reverend John takes off his life vest and says, "You need this more than me." And this guy is confused. He takes the life vest, and then Reverend John Harper starts to swim away, turns around and looks at this man who suddenly seems confused, swims back to him and says, "Would you like to make peace with God?" And this guy says, "Yeah." And he basically says he was the last guy that John Harper saved. And by the time they were done with the prayer, he could see John Harper drifting away because he passed away after this.
Whoa, like makes me wonder which one of those guys I am. The one that has hope or the one that's, that needs a life vest. Wow. I mean, John Harper, he knew where he was going, apparently. I mean, that's the confidence he had.
Yes.
It's not just having a message, but really believing in your message to be able to do that.
100%.
Wow. Yeah. But that sort of... that kind of falls into the story of Horatio Spafford, the American businessman who lost all his wealth in the Chicago fire and his son.
Oh, yeah.
And then he rebuilds everything and he's taking his wife and daughters to, I forget, France, I think. Or somewhere else for a trip. Yeah. And on the way, the ship sinks. The children all die.
Wow.
And the wife sends a telegram, "Survived alone," along the lines of "Survived alone, what must I do?"
Wow.
I mean, imagine getting that, like that telegram.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the reason why he wasn't on the ship was because he had some last minute business to attend to. Mm-hmm. And then he's back on the boat, the next boat that gets to where his wife is.
Yeah.
And then when they're returning back to Chicago, the wife tells, "This is where the ship sank, and our kids are." And I mean, that's enough to destroy anybody, I would assume. But he pens the words to the hymn, "It is well with my soul." And and the thing about that was, I didn't know the story about this hymn, but it has been a massive encouragement to me, regardless of where I am in life.
Yeah.
And wow. I mean,
yeah.
So there was one story where the daughter and niece are fine, and the dad passed away. Yeah. And in the other story, the dad's alive and the kids have passed away.
Yeah.
But in both of these, I mean, the hope there is in this message that we preach.
Yeah.
That's it makes you wonder. Where have all the good men gone, so to speak? You know. Yeah. So, wow, that was so encouraging.
Yeah, Griff, I'm glad you brought that up. It reminds me of this verse from 1 Thessalonians, where Paul writes and he says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to believers who have died, so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died." And I think that brings so much hope and comfort.
Wow, that's a good perspective to have in life.
Yeah.
Wow, thanks for sharing that, Job. And I'm positive. I mean, I'm encouraged. So I would just know that everybody is encouraged listening to this. So yeah. Thank you so much. And to our listeners, thanks for joining in, and hope you were encouraged as much as I was, and hope you join us again.